PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported in 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at UnitedHealthcare. When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
Socks Machine.
Jim Margulis, co-host of the Socks Machine podcast.
It's either pure stubbornness or hubris, but there's no case for Larry batting third.
The internet's longest running White Sox podcast.
That period of time where the White Sox were spending over $50 million on the bullpen makes me think there was some mismanagement. And I think the Kimbrel trade bailed them out a little bit.
Managing editor of SoxMachine.com.
Rick Hahn often manages the team like he's going to be the one cleaning up the mess 8 years from now. If they do sign that Marcus Semien deal, if they do sign that Manny Machado contract, like other GMs would say, I'm going to go for glory and at least have a ring to show for it.
Jim Margulis with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want machine.
Socks Machine.
It's pretty badass, Ray. Like that. Like that intro. Mark Rohde filling in for Lawrence Holmes here. Got another hour of the show. We are going to talk White Sox with Jim Margulis of the White Sox Machine here in just a second. I just got the worst possible text message that I could have read at this moment. I just made a big mistake. There's a text message with one of our wonderful patrons, listeners of The Score, saying that I used the word like too much. This is terrible. I should not have read that because now it's going to be in my head that I used the word like too much. So I have made a critical error that I am going to attempt to play through for the next 55 minutes of the Lawrence Holmes Show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The hour is brought to you by Busey Bank. And let's just talk about these White Sox because Jim Margulis is on the line from Sox Machine. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So I guess, Jim, everybody spends the day thinking about yesterday's Red Sox cremation of the White Sox, 16-7. Been a little bit of a festival of runs against the White Sox lately, has it not?
It has, and I guess the silver lining is that the Cubs gave up a ton of runs themselves, so nobody enters this crosstown series feeling good about themselves, and I guess everybody's more or less tending to their own yards.
So true. So true. And but both teams are going to want a piece of the other in that regard. Not because they really care about each other or the rivalry, but because both teams, especially the White Sox, need to get back on track. But let's talk about Dallas Keuchel to start here. Another awful night last night. Two innings, allowed 6 runs on 7 hits, 2 home runs. He now has an ERA near 8, 7.82 to be specific for Dallas Keuchel. Where are you on him? Should he be gone now? Should he have been gone yesterday? And do you think that there will be a move made?
I'm of the mind that right now he is clearly the fifth starter. If he's not there, Davis Martin probably moves in to be the fifth starter. And with the other 4 starters, Cease, Giolito, with Cueto stepping up and being, looking like he's somebody who can contribute, that's like a bonus to where Keuchel really doesn't matter too much. There are going to be some interchangeable fifth starters. Most teams deal with uncertainty in that spot. He struggles. It's hard to watch. His quotes are tough to read or listen to afterwards because I think he's trying to talk himself into something he may no longer be, and everybody else has to go along for the ride. But ultimately, the White Sox problem is offense. So, I look at the fifth starter spot and say, yeah, it's worth some attention, probably sooner rather than later, but there are bigger fish to fry. I think what I'm waiting for right now is with the Toronto series coming up next week, we don't yet know with the White Sox, who may or may not be able to make that trip, due to the vaccination requirements. So they may need some extra players on hand just to fill out a roster or a rotation. From what we know about the White Sox, they've been pretty good at it in terms of maintaining their numbers and getting everybody or most everybody on the program. So I'm not inclined to think it's going to be a huge problem, but that's one variable I can see at this specific point in time that makes me think, well, maybe they just need one more arm for one more week. And then, assuming nobody gets hurt and Lynn looks like he's on track, maybe a bigger decision can be made.
And you're totally right. Like that Dallas Keuchel is an easy target for all of us because he's been bad. Everybody knows Dallas Keuchel, so it's easy for everybody to get on board with, okay, there's something you can fix. You can get rid of that guy. But as you indicated, the bigger issue is a lack of runs and run differential. And I was talking with Dan Bernstein about this in transition, and for lack of a better word, it's pretty confounding why this offense doesn't work considering some of the talent in it. What have you seen as to why the White Sox offense cannot get it in gear?
It seems like a little bit of everything. I think, probably the easiest way to sum it up is that they've had a hard time getting 3 hitters in the lineup functioning at one time. It's been a game of whack-a-mole where, Tim Anderson's been the constant, but Luis Robert looks good. Jose Abreu's not working well, and Andrew Vaughn is hot, but not trusted yet, so he's in the back half of the order. Then Vaughn gets trusted, moves up, gets more responsibility. He gets hit by a pitch. Abreu gets hot, Robert gets hurt. Pollock starts warming up, and then he gets cold. Like, it's been just a situation where even if you were to try to front-load the lineup so the hottest 3 hitters are going 1, 2, 3 for concerning stretches of time, that's been hard to know who those best 3 hitters are. And then I think the other issue is that just from the left side, you have Yasmani Grandal, who's been off to a really rough start. And I think some of it's been, bad luck, in terms of some of the balls he's hit hard have been hit too low to the ground, even if they're in the air. But also, like, I think his pitch judgment's a little bit off and he's being outguessed a little bit. You have Yoan Moncada, who was hurt, and then coming back, he hasn't quite looked himself, even like his last year self. And then Gavin Sheets has struggled as well. And he's somebody who just, hadn't had enough time to be trusted yet. And maybe he's showing that he's not worth that trust. But when you're banking that much on those 3 left-handed bats, helping to confront good right-handed pitching, if they're not there, then the rest of the lineup, that's why I think it's been so uneven, and that's why it's been so much on Tim Anderson, and he can't do it all himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And there hasn't been that one guy that has just been like blistering hot and carrying the team. And, you know, I think that we've seen moments almost every year of Jose Abreu's career where it has been like that. And it has not been like that. Who knows? Maybe this is the start of something for Andrew Vaughn, because he had a huge three-run double in a tight spot. And then he hits a two-run homer as well. What I'm waiting for with Andrew Vaughn is, like, I mean, all the promise is there, and a lot of it we've seen in play in terms of his production. I'm just waiting for it to click in, like, consistently, where you know every day Andrew Vaughn is the guy that you want hitting second or third, that he might be one of your best hitters on the team. I don't know that it is there yet. I'd like to know what you think about his development and where he is in the ceiling, and if he does have indeed more ceiling to get to.
Yeah, he's a tricky guy to evaluate just because of the lack of a minor league track record and him having to basically learn by doing at the upper levels, you know, and we're talking about the major league levels here, just, you know, AA, AAA didn't have that. So it's the major leagues. And we were working off a blank script last year, and he did okay. Like, I think he was, you know, partially, you had to deal with the quality of pitching, particularly right-handed pitching, but he also had to deal with the grind of his first ever six-month season against the best of the best. And he wore down his, I guess he had back and leg issues and such just from the strain of the season. And so that was a point of emphasis going into this year, was just, you know, learning how to, you know, manage that routine and that grind. And, you know, starting the season looked like he did it. It looked like his power was back. It looked like he, you know, the contact that died on the warning track, I guess it died on the warning track for a different reason this time around because the balls changed, but the contact looked stronger. The exit velocities were there. The barrel was on time. And then he just got hit by the pitch. I think that's what disrupted that little run he was on. So, you know, should this be the sign of something, or should the White Sox think like he's past his physical limitations, I wouldn't mind seeing him hit top four. I like him hitting second. You know, I don't mind if Abreu moves up to third, and then, you know, if Robert comes back, maybe Robert hits second and Vaughn hits fourth, what have you. But I like him in the top four just because even when he's not squaring everything up, his plate appearances are still among the most disciplined on the team, and that has its own value, I think. I would like to see less of Yasmani Grandal for the time being, so bump him down to fifth or sixth, and then try to go from there. But I don't envy Tony La Russa in terms of trying to figure out, with Robert out, with Vaughn just coming back and approaching something, you know, who are his three to four best hitters?
Yeah, he's got to figure it out. And yeah, the Grandal thing really throws a wrench into it, because he had been so good in like clutch spots and just his approach at the plate. And I know some people got on him last year for taking too many walks at times, but not having that at your disposal. And when I say at your disposal, a guy who knocks in runs when they are there for him, it really throws a whole like wrench into the whole thing. Jim, what I wanted to ask you about too is, and we're talking to Jim Margulis from Sox Machine. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe it's just because we watch all the games, the White Sox have an inordinate number of either collisions or near collisions defensively. We saw it again last night in the eighth inning, and people were still watching at that point. Leury Garcia and Jose Abreu collide. They're both down for a while. They both get up limping. They both stay in the game. So you avoided that. There was a game, I don't remember which one it was, but it was a win for the White Sox where Josh Harrison and Andrew Vaughn nearly collided because Josh Harrison thought he was a right fielder. We know about the Aloy collisions. Is there an inordinate number of poor communication moments for the White Sox? And if so, why?
It seems like it's just based on, like you said, we watch all White Sox games. We don't watch other teams, but we do watch the teams that are playing the White Sox. And, you know, they have those collisions once in a while, but not in a way that I think, you know, lends itself to fear the way I talk to the TV and I yell, call for it, call for it, call for it, stop running, stop running.
Like, just, yes.
You know, I feel running. Like I'm talking.
Stop running is the big one. The stop running one. Like, ideally you'd like somebody to call it, but when we're watching as the third party and you see two guys running and you know, stop running, stop, bail out, abort, and they don't.
Yeah, I don't have that same reaction watching other teams, at least as frequently. But I think part of it, you know, like I would say the foul ball behind first base where Garcia and Abreu nearly collided, that's one of those balls where I think it's, you know, it's a tough play for both players. Both had to, you know, just, you know, Abreu had to work on the angle. Garcia had to cover the ground. And so I can see neither having the confidence to think they're going to get there or nobody's going to get there. And that's, I would chalk that up to bad luck, but it certainly, you know, doesn't look good after the day before, which is when Andrew Vaughn and Josh Harrison nearly collided. And watching that play, like at first I thought Harrison, like, why is he that far out there?
Right.
But then I was watching, you know, Vaughn, and, you know, I was watching his face, and I didn't see him calling for it.
Mm.
And Vaughn, you know, I think part of it's like an out of position thing or a lack of belief in their ability to cover ground. But Vaughn, you know, his defensive numbers are pretty rough in both corners. And I think a lot of it's just lack of foot speed, lack of range.
Yes.
And he takes cautious jumps because he can't really afford to go in the wrong direction, but that costs him as well. But I think there are a lot of balls that he just gets to that other right fielders would feel more confident about. And so if a guy like Harrison is going back and not hearing anything, he just might think that did Vaughn fall down or something? Like, well, is somebody absent? So I think that goes into it as well.
Well, a Steve Stone theory right after the play, or one of them, was that Josh Harrison does not play second base every day for the White Sox. He's there, and, you know, there's a lot of flip-flopping of outfielders and infielders, and if you don't have continuity at positions, then communication becomes different and where you're playing becomes different. So I don't know, like, if that's I don't know if that's a criticism necessarily, because lots of teams use lots of different players at different positions, but it is a theory.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, maybe valid in terms of, like, you know, Harrison being new and not playing much second, but also Vaughn being new. So I think, you know, it's a case where, you know, Harrison should know what he's doing at second base at all times. He's a veteran. He's played there a bunch for a bunch of different teams. And so he should be familiar with the unfamiliarity of new teams and new teammates. But I do think the Vaughn situation and Wright's, you know, not having a whole lot of confidence in his reads and maybe not calling for balls as authoritatively as other outfielders might, you know, probably exacerbates the issue.
No doubt. Reynaldo Lopez this year, another, you know, in all relativity, because it was a weird-ass game last night. But Reynaldo Lopez, you know, another good two innings of shutout baseball. We've seen him get his fastball and his velocity back. It's like all of his powers are coming back, and he's been pretty good as a reliever. Does he, Jim, is it possible that Reynaldo Lopez somewhere along the line this year gets another chance to start? Could they possibly stretch him out?
He's been in a curious spot just because he, you know, I thought he was going to be the long reliever, the swingman type, but that went to Tanner Banks early. So, you know, Lopez, you know, as valuable as he might be pitching 2+ innings, he really hasn't done that all year. You know, I think yesterday was an aberration when it comes to his usage. So they haven't treated him like he could do that, but I'm wondering, because, you know, as you mentioned, his fastball is back to where it was during his good full season with the White Sox. Like, he's never been a breaking ball guy. He's never been a guy who pitches backwards. He's somebody who really just competes with this fastball. And when he's locating it, he can strike out 10 to 12. If he's not locating it, it's going to be a struggle for him to get a quality start, but it's an above average pitch that he competes with well. And it seems like, you know, he's had a few issues. I think, you know, a couple physical issues. He had the vision issues, and I think he's been a little bit of, you know, confidence / bouncing between roles. But if he's back and this fastball is more than a 1-2 inning thing, then I'd be curious to see what he looks like. Cause, you know, Davis Martin, I think, is worth a shot. He's pitched well so far with the assignments he's been given this year, so I don't mind seeing him. But if Martin doesn't work out, or if he looks like if he provides reasons for why he was off the prospect radar entering the season, I would not mind seeing Lopez get stretched out just to see if there are diminishing returns to him going beyond two innings, because he's been this guy before.
Yep.
I think we can say that about him that we can't say about anybody else who's currently in the swingman position.
For sure. It'll be interesting. He's one to watch for sure, and he's been good enough at what he has done, the role he has played for the White Sox, for sure. So, Jim, here are the White Sox. They are 22 and 22. They are a 500 baseball team. They are right now, I think, 4.5 games back of Minnesota in the division. Does it feel like to you the White Sox will eventually take off, or should we expect more middling from what you have seen?
I feel like more middling should be expected, just because the run differential is the thing I'm struggling to wrap my head around. I think if their Pythag record is something like 17-27, like, so they're overachieving based on the runs they're scoring and how they're scoring them. So that's what makes me think, like, this is going to be harder than anticipated to climb out of. This is going to require more than just the strength of usual regression. I'm not Chicken Little here. I'm not going to say everything's falling on them, because they have had legitimate issues like Moncada being out and Pollock should have gone on the rehab stint after his injured list stint and didn't. Vaughn got banged up, so they've had some injuries here and there. Aloy being out, but every team has injuries. It's just more of a matter, I think, of the lopsidedness of the lineup and how limited it can be against right-hand pitching, and then also just I guess the overarching thing to me is just the, and I think this is why Keuchel annoys a lot of White Sox fans, is there does seem to be, you wish you saw more urgency from the decision makers about, reflecting that the White Sox have played in as frustrating as a fashion as they are frustrating mm-hmm. White Sox fans. Like, the lack of runs being scored, the squandered opportunities, the days off, the shifting lineups, just there isn't a whole lot suggesting that the White Sox are treating this like a problem. And to some extent, they shouldn't. But there's going to come a time, I think, in the next 2 weeks. We're talking about Keuchel, we're talking about Josh Harrison, we're talking about McGavin Sheets. Some weak spots on the roster do have to be addressed, I think, by guys who might be able to replace that, either in AAA or people, like we're talking about with Lopez, currently on the roster, but in diminished roles. I think there will come a time in short order to where, like, they can make some moves to reflect that this current mix isn't working. And, plan A is it doesn't come to that, but I think the time for plan A is eroding, and plan B will be, let's see what Lopez can do. Let's see what Martin can do. Let's see what Yolbert Sanchez can do. There are some options, I think, to at least reflect that, what we're seeing without completely panicking.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it's an easy move to send a message that if you DFA Dallas Keuchel, again, with that not being the biggest issue on this team, but it does say something to your team, to the fan base, to the media, if they need it, that, yeah, we're doing something. That said, Jim, did Rick, because I don't know where you stood on this stuff before the season started, did Rick Hahn mess up at all in the preseason? Should he have foreseen some of the issues that the White Sox are having right now and should have had another starting pitcher or another bat? Or is this something that he should not have necessarily foreseen?
I think he did neglect the lineup, and particularly the issues against right-handed pitching. I think there were some flaws there. Like, there was a point in the offseason, as mentioned in that really sweet intro that you guys made for me, that at one point in the offseason, they had committed more than $50 million to the bullpen. They traded Craig Kimbrell to alleviate that a little bit. Now they're only spending the third most in baseball. But the problem with exercising Kimbrell's option is that they had to trade him for somebody versus having $16 million to spend any which way they pleased. So that's a case where I think they got Kelly and they got Graveman and they exercised the option for Kimbrell. So they're going bullpen. And their only notion towards the position player side was two utility players. They retained Leary and then they brought in Josh Harrison. And right field was still a chasm, when it came to production there. And they were still they still could have used some shoring up at DH, and second base was a little bit murky. So they had things to address and they could have mixed up some handedness things and just they let it go. And, I was of the impression that with Carlos Rodon, I think he was a gift last year at $3 million. It was going to be hard to replace him no matter what. Johnny Cueto might be the closest thing, and he might be fine to giving the White Sox what they need from that fourth starter spot. So I didn't think the rotation was that critical, but the lineup concerned me a little bit. And, you know, when they kept going with relievers versus guys who could start, guys who could be good plan A's at positions, that's what concerned me a little bit. And that is bearing out a little bit.
Yep, no doubt. Yeah, I would say that A.J. Pollock has not satiated the situation in right field like some of us thought he might. Last thing here, Jim, I know you liked Ray's sick opening, but a texter does tell me here, a 773 texter, that Jim is a huge, unapologetic Bob Seger fan. Please work it into the conversation. Is that accurate, Jim?
I think it's because of a comment I made about night donuts during a live chat that's taken on some life.
Oh, okay. So this, there is a story. This is not necessarily you own everything Bob Seger.
I do not, but I appreciate his canon, I would say.
Well, that he actually is looking into the Jim Margulis minutia. That's good, man. Now, we want people to like hang on every word we say. So, Jim, I think that's a win for you.
I would take it. Even if it is like a little bit overblown, I certainly take no offense to any association Bob Seger. He makes perfectly fine music.
Amen. Perfectly fine is the right word. Jim, thank you so much. Enjoy White Sox Cubs this weekend, and I'm sure Lawrence will be talking to you next week at this time. Thanks, man.
I will try to enjoy it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see you from
both
sides.
I make no promises.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we will find out from both sides of town if it's going to be enjoyable, because it has been decidedly unenjoyable from both sides of town in the last couple of days, for sure. It just has... it has not gone well in any way, shape, or form. The Bob Seger thing is interesting. And I think the texter said it right. He did use the word unapologetic, because I do think that if your favorite act is Bob Seger, I do think you'd have to explain that a little bit. Like, Bob Seger's good. He's entertaining, and his music comes on like in commercials and stuff. And there's nothing bad about it. But to be the one that wants everything that Bob Seger is, I do think you need to explain that a little bit. I do think that would require backing up your position. You know, it's not an obvious one, Ray. Bob Seger. You're probably the biggest Bob Seger fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely not much on my radar. Like you say, I'm aware of him. Is that the first name?
He's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not looking to turn on any Bob Seger though.
Yeah.
You know? When I'm relaxing and having a drink.
Right. If it's on, I'm not necessarily running to the radio to flip the channel, but I probably will flip within, you know, maybe after the first chorus of Night Moves. Okay, I've heard enough of this. I'm on to something else. I like Bob Seger, but not that much. Yeah, I do think that would require some explanation. I need to take a break, because coming up, we are going to talk to Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times about the Chicago Bears. We'll talk to Potsy next. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes with Ray Diaz on the other side of the glass on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
I wouldn't read into that right now. You know, he's just getting back into action right now. So we're just seeing where he is with his conditioning and those types of things. But ones and twos, we're moving all guys around. We have a bunch of guys with the ones, with the twos. We have some threes in there, but nothing to read into that at this time. Yeah, I, you know, looking at him, like I said last week, I didn't get a chance to look at him. And now I've seen him for a week. And I like what I see. I mean, he's moving around really good. His change of direction is nice. He's got really good hands. As you know, he has good size. So now just really looking at his coverage ability, it's in a good spot, and it's in a really good spot. So we're just working with him and, again, trying to assess his skills, and we'll coach him as we go.
Bears head coach Matty Eberflus right there talking about Jalen Johnson, who was seen by all of us Bears reporters playing second string in an OTA the other day. I am Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Here on The Score, I'll be here until 2. That's when Parkins and Spiegel will move in. Looking forward to talking with those guys during transition. And apparently I need to do a deep dive on Bob Seger. I have no problem with Bob Seger. It's just not an artist that I would typically associate with people having him as their favorite artist. Like, I do feel like you got to go, you got to explain yourself on that. But an 847 texter says, you guys can't be that musically ignorant. Do a deep dive into Bob Seger one time. That's all it'll take. Maybe I will. I'm not being sarcastic here, but I'll come back to that. Right now, we need to talk Bears with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. And he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What is going on, Potsy?
I'm just trying to enjoy the offseason, Mark, just like you.
How's that going with going to OTAs and then having to come on the radio? Are you enjoying the offseason, Potsy?
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy, to tell you the truth. After all these years, it's pretty formulaic. Not this, but certainly the OTAs. And especially after, you know, we see, you know, it's interesting when you've done it for a long time, or maybe even not. I think it's easier to put everything into context, especially with things like Jalen Johnson and the accolades for rookies and things like that. And you just realize, hey, this is fun to write about, I guess, but it all comes out in the wash in August and September. And so I'm taking the patient approach, and I think that's the best way to do it.
As you should, as all of us should. But why was Jalen Johnson playing second string? It wasn't because he's not in shape, is it?
That's, you know, I will say, having just said what I said, I thought that was the most intriguing development of the entire offseason, even yes, more so than absences from OTAs and minicamps and stuff like that, because I don't know, it just seems kind of odd, and with little explanation. And I really don't know what it is. The only thing I can guess, I think if you want to put a positive spin on it, is that and it's kind of more of a general thing about what Matt Eberflus has done, is he's taken a very objective look at his roster, and he doesn't see everybody the same way that we do, that who have seen these players up close for a couple of years, And he's just not going to hand anybody anything. If you notice, I mean, he really doesn't even gush about Roquan,
right?
Who's like the most solid player. He's the guy who, when a new guy comes in, he should be hanging his hat on and saying, "Hey, I'm inheriting one of the best linebackers in football. I'm going to take him to another level."
They won't even tell us what position he's going to play.
But I'll be honest, and maybe it's just maybe I'm just kind of grasping for something positive. But I think that's to me that's kind of refreshing after having, again, everything I talk about is all kind of colored by the fact that I've been through, and we've all, many of us, have been through these things, these changes, GMs and coaches, so many times that this is all, it's almost everything is cliche, and frankly, this is not, you know, him being tepid about almost any player he has, I think it's good when you consider just where this roster is, and what I'm saying is, you know, A, maybe he just doesn't think Jalen Johnson is as good as everybody else does. Maybe he wants to see more of Kendall Vildor against the first team or with the first team defense, whatever. Maybe he didn't like that Jalen Johnson missed the first minicamp. I don't know. But, again, it will all come out in the wash in July, at the end of July and August, when we see where he is. And we also see how good he is in this defense. So it was very intriguing, interesting, but again, not going to overreact to something like that. But it definitely was interesting. And like I said, I think it's good that Eberflus looks at the roster the way he does. It's one of a few things, you know, kind of little things I think that I think bode well for him as a head coach in the early going, not knowing anything about him.
Yeah, because it's good. You're right to your point, because we do hold coaches typically accountable for their hyperbole when they speak about players. So it's good to be a little bit tepid and judgmental, or I guess the word would be objective, about his players early on, as opposed to, as much as we want it, and I've been trying to get it out of them any chance I can, we want to hear exactly why is Justin Fields going to be good or great this year. And the most we've got, Matt Eberflus finally got him to say that, yeah, all the way he throws the deep ball, really like that. And I think that's the most concrete thing he's said about Justin Fields, the player, so far. And that's not even that big of a deal, but that's how it's been in terms of trying to get them to give us an evaluation and how they really feel about Justin Fields. And where I'm going with this, Potsy, is it's, you know, what we have not talked about in a long time regarding Justin Fields. Is it still possible that Justin Fields is going to be great? Because we don't hear people talking about that possibility anymore.
No, we don't. And again, that goes back to, I think, the way this regime is looking at Fields. They're not propping him up as, like, you know, the answer, the franchise quarterback. I think they understand he can be. I don't buy the idea that they are not sold on him. There's no way those guys would take this job or these jobs and not have faith in a quarterback like that. But on the other hand, it's very possible that if they don't like what they see this year, they could move on and they could say, we're going to get our own guy. And who knows, they could have the draft capital to do something. So I think that, again, it goes back to being objective about what they have. And I think that's a good thing, because two things about Fields, we haven't really seen. I think we've seen some good instinctive things about him that tell you he could be good on a great team, on a good team, whatever. But on the other hand, we really haven't seen a lot. But also, and I keep going back to this, we've also seen the worst version of him, because he was in a Matt Nagy offense that just wasn't very good and, like, made everybody look bad. So he could be better than we think. He could be worse. But they're taking this year as just kind of a clean slate to get a look at everybody. And they're taking this year to see exactly what they've got, and then next year is when everything starts. This is like I'm trying to find the word to describe it. This is like a free year, I think.
It's like a bye year,
which is really interesting when we cover the team every minute of every day. That makes it kind of difficult, but this really is a free year for them, and I think even for Bears fans to kind of say, hey, they got a clean slate on defense, a clean slate on offense, a quarterback that they can build with. Let's see what happens. And I just think I think that's the prudent way to do it, given this roster.
One area that has been static for the Bears so far is offensive line, except for one guard spot. James Daniels' spot has really not been officially accounted for, unless it is to go to Dozier. But Tevin Jenkins, Larry Borum, Cody Whitehair, and Lucas Patrick have been at your service in all of these offseason workouts. Do you think that that's what it's going to be? Because if it's not, there's nobody on this roster that is better than those four, or if you want to add Dakota Dozier as the fifth. You think that's, especially those tackle spots, you think it's going to be Jenkins and Borum as your tackles?
I think so. I think they're going to end up with that, unless some rookie really, and rookie tackles very don't often, you know, earn a chance. You know, someone has to fail generally for them. unless they are slotted, you know, at the beginning, which these guys are not. But I think they'll end up with those four spots. I think they will be as they are. I think they probably are still looking for a right guard. And the question is, you know, you've got two second-year tackles with a second-year quarterback, and but again, you know, Tevin Jenkins was drafted by a different regime, but was drafted to be a starting left or right tackle in the NFL, and I, you know, we don't know that he is or isn't. So again, it goes back to Ryan Poles, and this is, I guess, blind faith, but I find it hard to believe that a guy with a background in offensive line like him would leave the Bears in a lurch, I mean, that badly in a lurch, on the offensive line with a quarterback as valuable as Fields. So I'm putting my faith in him that he knows this group, he knows this guy, and he knows the coaches, that, you know, Chris Morgan can coach this group up to be better as a whole than the sum of their parts. So I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but we're in May, and so at this point the answer to almost anything is we just don't know, and we'll find out.
Yeah, and one of the answers that we've gotten a lot from said offensive coordinator Chris Morgan, and I'm sure maybe Matt Eberflus has uttered it at some point in time too, and that is, it's really hard to evaluate these guys when we don't have the pads on. Like, that is for offensive linemen. It's hard to get a read. So, like, in a lot of cases, when we ask questions very specific about the offensive line, it's like, yeah, they look good, but man, it's really hard to tell when they don't have the pads on. Potsy, and how often do they actually put the pads on in the preseason?
Yeah, well, you're right. So, and they don't even play preseason games that much anymore.
Know, right?
So it's really going to be a trial by fire, come September. But I will say, offensive line is one function of a football team where you can have you can have a pretty productive unit without having name or proven players. So it can happen, and it's not even a shot in the dark kind of thing. It happens with regularity. If you look at And I know the Packers have the best quarterback in football, or one of the best quarterbacks in football, but if you look at the Packers line that Lucas Patrick was a part of last year when Bakhtiari was out, that was a Bears kind of offensive line individually. But together, they were 10 times better than the Bears. So it can't happen. And that'll be one of the interesting facets of this offseason, or this preseason, and the initial part of the season, is to see where they go with that, because I think everything is putting their faith in Luke Getsy. I think it's all about him and him designing an offense that can make this offensive line better than you think, and make this and make these receivers better than you think, and just make this offense better than you've ever seen it. So it's really almost all on Luke Getsy as an addition. If you're looking for what's going to make the difference, I think he's the key guy more than even Fields or Mooney or any other individual facet of the offense.
Potsy, A-plus stuff as always. Thanks for coming on. Even though it's not the overnight, I know you prefer the overnight forum. I appreciate you coming on with us here during the daylight.
Well, we can still do that, Mark. Just to call me anytime. You know, I love the unplugged nature of that. So, yeah, give me a call. I'll be happy to do it.
I will do that. This is not one of those times where I'm just saying that. I'll be calling you for the overnight. Potsy, I'll talk to you later, man.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Yep, that's Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times, one of my fellow Bears reporters, one of my colleagues, and one of my favorite people to talk Bears and to talk sports with. And we didn't really have time to get into some of the what else Potsy would like to discuss, but I thought he gave us some pretty good Bears information right there. I'm Mark Rohde, in for Lawrence Holmes. We got Transition coming up at the top of the hour with Parkins and Spiegel. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Maybe I do need to go deeper into the Bob Seger catalog, because I think what happens is sometimes if an artist is featured heavily in a commercial, that specific song definitely loses its allure and its meaning. And God bless Bob. Bob making millions, I'm sure, or billions, I don't know. So God bless Bob. But I also just don't think that Bob Seger rises to the occasion of the category of potential favorite acts. And I was just surprised to hear that about somebody today. And some of the Bob Seger people have fought back. And I understand. I don't, like, Bob Seger falls in a special musical category for me. A act or a band that I would never go out of my way to listen to or to be a part of in any way, shape, or form. But two things. If you had a free ticket to go see Bob Seger, I'd probably go. I'd probably enjoy seeing Bob Seger. I'd be down with it. Maybe I'll leave early. I don't know. But I'd probably go. Like, Bruce Springsteen falls in that category for me. I'm not a big Bruce, but if somebody had a ticket, like, yeah, I'll go see Bruce. For sure. I wanted to go, you know who I wanted to go see recently, Ray? I wanted to go see Justin Bieber because I wanted to see the spectacle, but you know, you got to sort of justify that. So I asked my nieces if they wanted to go because we had some tickets available throughout the company. They weren't interested. They were like, you got any Olivia Rodrigo tickets? We like that sad stuff. We like that driver's license business, man. I want to give Olivia Rodrigo a hug. She just seems so hurt. Every twist and turn of her life. But, yeah, the nieces rejected me on Justin Bieber. That would not be a good look for me to go solo to a Justin Bieber show. That would not work. My cover is my nieces. That's why I got to go to see Katy Perry. They're my cover. And they did not want anything to do with Justin Bieber. Call us if you got Olivia Rodrigo. I got to take a break. I've seen both Parkins and Spiegel wandering the hallways, so that means that they're ready. They'll be next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Wow. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Maybe I do need to go deeper into the Bob Seger catalog, because I think what happens is sometimes if an artist is featured heavily in a commercial, that specific song definitely loses its allure and its meaning. And God bless Bob. Bob making millions, I'm sure, or billions, I don't know. So God bless Bob. But I also just don't think that Bob Seger rises to the occasion of the category of potential favorite acts. And I was just surprised to hear that about somebody today. And some of the Bob Seger people have fought back. And I understand. I don't, like, Bob Seger falls in a special musical category for me. A act or a band that I would never go out of my way to listen to or to be a part of in any way, shape, or form. But two things. If you had a free ticket to go see Bob Seger, I'd probably go. I'd probably enjoy seeing Bob Seger. I'd be down with it. Maybe I'll leave early. I don't know. But I'd probably go. Like, Bruce Springsteen falls in that category for me. I'm not a big Bruce, but if somebody had a ticket, like, yeah, I'll go see Bruce. For sure. I wanted to go, you know who I wanted to go see recently, Ray? I wanted to go see Justin Bieber, because I wanted to see the spectacle, but, you know, you got to sort of justify that. So I asked my nieces if they wanted to go, because we had some tickets available throughout the company. They weren't interested. They were like, you got any Olivia Rodrigo tickets? We like that sad stuff. We like that driver's license business. Man, I want to give Olivia Rodrigo a hug. She just seems so hurt. Every twist and turn of her life. But, yeah, the nieces rejected me on Justin Bieber. That would not be a good look for me to go solo to a Justin Bieber show. That would not work. My cover is my nieces. That's why I got to go to see Katy Perry. They're my cover. And they did not want anything to do with Justin Bieber. Call us if you got Olivia Rodrigo. I got to take a break. I've seen both Parkins and Spiegel wandering the hallways. So that means that they're ready. They'll be next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at UnitedHealthcare. When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.